I'm going to do something completely different this week. You just heard Jake Babb and Ryan Marr playing a composition by Ryan, and they're part of the Portland Jazz Composers Ensemble Grasshopper series. And the first part of the podcast this week is going to be them talking about their experience. And then we're going to switch over to the POW Fest, a film festival in Portland that's going to be March 2nd through the 5th. And finally, finishing up with an interview with Anya Pearson, an artist who's working on a piece that will have a presentation at the end of February at Portland Playhouse. In between, you'll hear a little music by Jake and Ryan, and I hope you enjoy this new way of doing things. The sun is shining today, and I was ready for something new.
Yeah, that's good. So we'll do another one, and we'll do three total courses. We'll go right on it. Last time, you were doing the two-field thing for the A section, and then the B you walked, and then back to two-field for A. Maybe just the first 16, keep the two-field, and then the last 16, so like halfway through, you start swinging.
Gotcha.
Good. Yeah. Right on. That tempo's cool? Okay.
Ryan Marr and Jake Babb.
What a privilege and an honor to be the first.
Yeah, you are. It's inaugural for us. And I've got Ryan Marr and Jake Babb here, who are part of the Portland Jazz Composers Ensemble Grasshopper Series.
Yeah.
And they are partnering promising young artists like Jake with experienced artists like Ryan. And they've got some shows coming up. And I just would love to hear a little bit about your partnership. As I said earlier, one of the great hopes for me right now with political things going as they are, and it's just the excitement of art and what the kind of relationships that you two have, what they bring to our community, and well, to you, Jake, really. How is it, what's it like working with a professional musician?
It's really, it really is amazing, because, like, I don't know, when I started composing, like, I came from not doing, like, necessarily, like, sophisticated, like, jazz pieces or whatever. Like, I was doing mostly kind of, like, pop, hip-hop kind of stuff when I was thinking of music, but, like, being able to work with Ryan, like, I'm able to see, like, I'm able to write in a more sophisticated way and actually just know how to do it as a whole. It's like, it's a lot of information to just, like, pick up on your own, so having Ryan help me out.
What's so cool, too, I think, as a musician myself, is the more genres that you are exposed to, the more, you know, the bigger your paint box is about in what you can accomplish, you know, if you were doing other genres before. This will really beef up your,
what you've got at your
fingertips. Yeah. It's really neat. So that piece was a composition by Ryan.
Yeah.
And, How's that to be working? I mean, it's really interesting. You're sharing your original music with this young person. You probably get some feedback from him. How is it for you?
It was cool. That's a newer tune of mine that I wrote in tribute to one of my heroes, Jim Hall. And it's based on a standard set of chord changes. The tune that it's based on is How Deep Is the Ocean. Mm. And I don't think Jake knew, you don't know that tune.
I didn't know that.
But, yeah. And those chord changes are a little bit different than the original chord changes that, like, are more standard, but only slightly. Right, yeah.
That's a great song.
Yeah. So I thought that, you know, one, I wanted to give it a spin, and then also it's a tune that Jake should know, you know, if he's going to be playing jazz bass. So I just wanted to include that. But it was cool. Yeah, it's kind of difficult.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a fun tune.
It must be really interesting for you. I mean, I sing a lot of American songbook stuff, and like I've got two kids, one of whom's really close to your age, and it's just to share that music is really special. I mean, you don't want Irving Berlin and Cole Porter and Noel Coward, and there's so much great material that will really, again, feed your creativity, you know?
Definitely. I mean, I don't know if Jake is going to be, as a composer going forward, writing songs that would sound like an Irving Berlin tune, but there's so much to learn in those tunes that it can only help.
Well, even like Lin-Manuel Miranda in Hamilton is riffing off of Cole Porter. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a beautiful history to tap into.
Yeah. That's one of the things that the Portland Jazz Composers Ensemble that we're interested in is mining the tradition. We're not obsessed with it, and we're not revivalists by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, we definitely nod to our tradition that we come from.
Right.
That's something we find important. Right. So
learning from history, it works in any place you are. Learning from history, it's good. So you've got the Grasshoppers have performances coming up on February 23rd at noon at the City Hall Atrium.
Yeah.
And then also on the 24th of February at 7:30 p.m. at the Old Church. And how many young people are paired with mentors?
We have three mentors and three mentees, three grasshoppers.
That's great.
Jake is one of three. Yeah.
I love that. Now, the other grasshoppers, do you know them?
I don't personally know.
You don't? So will you rehearse together at some point and hear each other's work? Or?
Yeah, we have rehearsals scheduled the week of the concerts. Tuesday and Wednesday, I believe, are the rehearsals. And that's where Jake is going to, I'm sure, get tinglies all up and down his spine, because you get to see your thing that you've put so much time into come to life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a really fun experience. I can't wait to see the look on his face.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about it?
I mean, I'm super excited to hear it, because, like, I've been working on it, but I'm nervous too.
Right.
Yeah. It's easy to be, like, self-conscious of your work, but, like, hearing it, I know they're going to play the best it's going to be, so I'm really excited to hear it.
It's so, I mean, I know when I watch young people, I worked recently on a workshop of a new musical, and I see young people putting it out there in the way that you're going to. It's really brave, and it's inspiring for every artist who will be seeing what you're doing because of your courage to put your work out there and just let it wash over you and try not to judge and just be with it. It's exciting just not knowing you at all, but think about the prospect of what you're going to do. It's going to inspire every single person who's in the room.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So how long have you guys been working together?
Good question. I think maybe a month and a half.
Oh, really short.
Maybe 2 months, something. Yeah. We've had you picked out, I think, for a while, but we didn't get the process going until after... No, did we meet in December? We might have met in December.
We met once and then the snow came.
Oh, yes. Snowmageddon. It's impacted every artist in the city.
It has.
Really. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So how are you scooching all this into your schedule with school? And I'm sure you probably play with school band as well. And...
I do, yeah. I play in my school.
Great.
It's kind of another thing of homework to do. It's another slot of homework to take up.
Right.
It's actually homework I like to do.
Yeah.
Right.
As hard as it is, it is. But, yeah.
They should call homework something else entirely because it's like, it's how life is. You know, you gotta... It's prepare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Prepare for life now.
Yeah.
From 7 to 8. Yes. 10. And tell me again what your grade is.
I'm a senior.
Oh, you're a senior. So what are you planning on doing after graduation?
I plan on studying composition for that.
And have you chosen a university or what's your plan?
Not yet, but right now I'm finishing up applications for Loyola, New Orleans.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming and playing and just doing your thing. It's fantastic.
A pleasure to be invited, and we are privileged and honored.
This is great.
It's been great.
Cool. Like I said, you are absolutely welcome to write a theme song for Adventures in Arts Land.
I think you should take that opportunity, for sure, Jake.
Yeah, now it's recorded, Jake, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it.
Verbal contract.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
I have to do
it.
Johnson Mettinger, who is the power behind the throne, shall I say, of the Portland, Oregon Women's Film Festival, POW Fest, and POW Girls. Really, that's how I got to know you, because I volunteered at the high school, and I remember I had a student who was interested in doing some work in film, and we came across this website, and I felt so grateful because as a result, we went to one of the film festivals of the young people who had participated in a workshop. And I mean, the work you're doing is incredible, and you're celebrating your 10-year anniversary right now.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome.
Yes, it's a memorable year.
Yes.
This year, and a big milestone, 10 years of the film festival. We're in year 3 of our POW Girls program, mm-hmm. which you mentioned, our youth-based program that takes girls 15 to 19 on a journey throughout a workshop, and they create a film from concept to completion. Those films are shown every year at the film festival, the annual film festival, mm-hmm. and they've also been picked up by other film festivals. So it's been really exciting to see the reception mm-hmm. of those films. The quality of the films is really stellar. Mm-hmm. They're learning some amazing technical skills through our partner with Metro East Community Media and Open Signal. We partner with these organizations that girls can actually, after they complete our workshop, continue to go back into these facilities and continue their journey in producing and creating media, which is really exciting. So we wanted to make sure that we had a program where barriers like that, like access to equipment, support systems were in place so they could really pursue this. And now that we've done the program for so many years, we've been able to see girls move into the field, whether they choose after they graduate to go directly into working, or if they go to college. We have a lot of girls that are pursuing like a film program at a various universities. So it's exciting to see where they're headed.
I know when we went to the festival, it's so wonderful, I think, for a lot of young people to see women in the film industry, and the film festival is this incredible, you know, meeting of the minds mm-hmm. where young women can see, oh, this is possible.
A
world I can enter.
Exactly.
This isn't far away Hollywood, you know, pipe dream. This is real.
And that's a big part of our film festival, is to create that community and really like a peer network. Everyone is on the same level, whether you're there with your debut film, first time you've ever picked up a camera, and your film happened to get selected for the film festival, or you're our guest of honor and you're being celebrated for years of work with, you know, tremendous amount of achievement. We really provide a space where everyone can connect and support each other. And I think that this, you know, it's not unique to our organization necessarily, but it is something that we've tried to cultivate over the years, kind of pulling it apart and really understanding what kind of event and organization we want to be, right, and our value system and our mission specifically. So we attract filmmakers from all over the world. Many people come on their own dime to attend the festival. So I think this year we're at like 30 filmmakers that are coming in, which is almost 50%, which is great. You know, we have a lot of local filmmakers, mm-hmm, but there's people making the journey from across the United States or from Canada or Mexico. So it's pretty exciting who we attract. I think Portland also offers that attraction. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to see it. And
I feel that it's such an important thing to do to connect people with a sense of hope and making art and telling stories.
Absolutely.
They're going to help us connect,
right,
and create some change.
Right. And it's also exciting because we've had 10 years of the festival, mm-hmm, to see some of these women that have shown their earlier work at the festival now go on to be, you know, pretty successful, mm-hmm, creating their second or third pieces. We had Gillian Rosbury, who was with us, I think it was in 2010, she showed a short of her film, Obvious Child, which ultimately went on and she developed a feature that came out. And then her latest film, Landline, just premiered at Sundance, and she got an incredible deal and sold her film for $3 million. So it's neat to see those success stories and know that there is that element, that touchstone of POW, that these filmmakers have had, mm-hmm, and that we've created, you know, some community of support there.
Well, it's amazing what you've done. And I know earlier we were talking about, you know, what led you here to Portland, yeah, and the experience that you've had. And
yeah,
it must be really satisfying. You know, you're in this industry and then you're being able to give back so much.
Right. I have a lot of love and joy that I get from the work I do with POWFest specifically. It's certainly a big labor of love, but it's also grown to be a very successful entity and film festival and well-known, especially in the world of women's film festivals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've worked in this industry for a number of years in various capacities, starting in television. I was in LA for a time working in network television. And there was just a point where the work I was doing really didn't match up to, like, the heart work that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I had an opportunity. I'm from Oregon, so is my husband. We decided to move back to Portland. And it gave me that chance to kind of reevaluate what I wanted to do with my life. And a lot of it is wrapped up in my producing and directing work. And so it gave me that space to kind of transition into that, but it also gave me the opportunity to really evaluate the kind of work I want to do specifically as a woman in this industry. And then also really waking up to a lot of the statistics involving women in the director's chair or any other sort of behind the scenes work, and really seeing that disparity that existed and how I could step forward and, you know, help with elevating women's voices. So, you know, POWFest became a really important part of that journey. And, you know, thankfully it's been very successful and we've been able to achieve a lot of that and be a part of the conversation that's very, very relevant and heightened, especially now.
Right.
So I'm excited to see that it has continued for so long. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of film festivals out there, especially in Oregon. I think there's like 90 film festivals in the state of Oregon, and a lot of different kinds of festivals too. And some of these smaller film festivals like POW that are more genre or boutique festivals sometimes don't last very long. Mm-hmm. So being able to be around for 10 years and become kind of, you know, solidified as an entity has been super exciting.
Plus shepherding young artists.
Right.
Which is just,
yeah,
really... I think the other artists on Adventures in Artslandia this week are all just providing a lot of hope for me personally, right, about what those relationships can lead to, the good work, the interaction between audience and creators and storytelling,
right,
and getting right people in a position to tell the stories that are going to help us move through these difficult times.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Film Fest is March 2 through the 5th.
Correct.
And they can go online at www.powfest.com and get tickets.
Correct. Our tickets go on sale on Wednesday, February 15th. Mm-hmm. And there's a variety of ways that you can purchase tickets. You can purchase tickets for individual shows or do a festival pass. The festival pass also includes our education day that we're doing on Friday, March 3rd. Mm-hmm. We have three really amazing panels that we've put together with great speakers. And we're working with Northwest Documentary with that. So we're going to be hosting the panels at their facility on North Williams. So that's another thing about POW is we really like to partner locally with other organizations. And so it's exciting to be able to utilize their space to have such, you know, really good conversations. Mm-hmm. So
that's exciting.
Yeah.
So who are some of the filmmakers that are coming in this year?
So our guest of honor is director Cheryl Dunier, mm-hmm, and she's going to be here. I'm super excited. I was hoping to get her last year. Her film, The Watermelon Woman, that originally debuted in 1996, was restored, mm-hmm, and we wanted to show that at PowFest last year. It just didn't work out quite with timing. So we were able to reach out this year, and she's agreed to come. And so we're going to be showing The Watermelon Woman in its restored glory, and also another film of hers called The Owls. And we're also showing a short film of hers, Black is Blue, which is, I believe, her latest work, and now she's currently developing that into a feature. So she'll be here Saturday night as kind of her night. Mm-hmm. We'll have a double feature, and she'll be doing an extended Q&A in between the two films at the Hollywood Theater. Okay. And so that will happen on Saturday night. And she's also going to do a special session for our POW girls. So the girls that have participated in the POW girls program will have this opportunity to have like a personal workshop with Cheryl. So that's really cool. Like those are things that I really love that happen when people have the availability. So that, and then just today I locked our opening night film, which is from Academy Award winning director Barbara Kopple. And she has a new film that just debuted at Sundance called This Is Everything, Gigi Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's a documentary on the YouTube star Gigi Gorgeous and her transition to becoming who she is, mm-hmm, and sort of the ups and downs of being transgender in a public realm. Mm-hmm. So amazing film, and looking at the support that she has, not only with her YouTube followers, but with her family, and really thrilled to show Barbara's work. She's very dear to us at PowFest. We had her out here in 2012 to celebrate her work and showed her Academy Award-winning film, Harlan County, USA. And so she's amazing. And so really excited to have her, her work here at PowFest. And then the Education Day, of course, that I mentioned. We have a lot of short films that are broken down into fun collections, mm-hmm, on the themes of quirky, dark tales, if you like that sort of thing. They're pretty dark. family drama, animation and experimental, always a highlight, mm-hmm, of the festival. And of course, the youth and POW girls section, mm-hmm, that we've had since day one. We've always shown the work of young directors from all over the world. And there's a film from Portugal in there this year. And four of our POW girls films will be having their PowFest premiere. And we also have some films by, there's another group called Produced by Her, here local here in Portland that will have a couple of films in that section.
And tell me about your wrist cuff.
Oh, my wrist cuff.
That's
yeah.
Kind of fun. You've got
I'm wearing
really
the prototype. Yes.
Cool.
So we, in celebration of our 10th anniversary, Rebecca at Queen Bee has designed us a wrist cuff that has our signature burst on it. It's our design element.
It's an awesome pal.
It's really cool. And so we are having these made, and they will be gifted to the filmmakers in attendance this year, but I'm also going to sell them. So
it's like a black leather cuff with yeah. the pal, and it's really neat
yeah.
stitching. It's
really, if you're familiar with their products, it's very Queen Bee-esque, mm-hmm. and just I'm super thrilled with it, not only because we were able to partner with them, and I love her stuff, but also it's just, it's cool to support other women own businesses. Mm-hmm. So, and just to have this for our 10th anniversary is really special. So,
I appreciate so much your coming to talk to me about
Thank you.
And there's so many incredible things to do. Be sure to get there. Take a look at the website. There are a lot of ways to participate. And if you
yeah.
have a young woman in your life who you think would like to learn about filmmaking, whether they want it to be a career or just something exciting to be around other women who are doing interesting things and telling stories and just joining together to do good work, then go to www.powfest.com and sign up.
Yes.
It's an exciting and interesting time here in the United States of America, and I have been continually looking for hope, and one of the ways that I find it is through art. And when my friend Sharon Lee McLean mentioned that Anya Pearson was working on a piece, she sent me some information about it, and I was moved to bring her in so you all could hear about what she's doing. Welcome, Anya. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I know you're workshopping this piece, and then you're going to culminate with a couple of performances at Portland Playhouse, I believe on February 27 and 28?
Yes.
Is that
at
right?
7:30 p.m.
Great.
So everyone please come.
Yeah. They will after they hear about it.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it. It's an incredible
sure.
piece.
So my piece is called Made to Dance in Burning Buildings. It's a choreo poem. It's a fusion of poetry and music and violent and visceral contemporary dance, which poses the question, how do we heal from trauma?
Healing from trauma is a wonderful, well, wonderful is the wrong word, but it sounds like healing for people in many areas.
Yes, especially given what's going on in the country now
mm-hmm.
and the person who is currently in the White House.
Yes.
It's a topic that has been very interesting to me for a long time. I was very inspired to write this piece after reading For Colored Girls.
Mm.
That piece has been very inspirational to me. I found such solace in Ntozake Shange's words, and it spoke to my experience as a Black woman in this country. And from that, I was really interested in, instead of telling all of the stories of the African-American experience, I wanted to tell one specific story of one woman's struggle with rape and PTSD. And what was really interesting to me was using a choreo poem, because it's such a fractured storytelling device to tell a fractured story like PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And so the main character in my story fractures into six different women. So she kind of calls forth the different aspects of her personality to help her journey through PTSD.
Mm.
And they, through poetry, narrate her journey of PTSD, while she, through dance, explores the men in her life, her abusers, and then her first love, who she kind of uses as a way to try to stop reliving the trauma.
Mm. It brings to mind, I think we're going through a really interesting renaissance in storytelling that is less linear and more multifaceted.
Yeah.
And that, it sounds as though your piece is doing that.
Yes.
And that's exciting.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm drawn to that type of storytelling. I think there are enough plays that are, you know, the traditional rising action,
beginning,
climax, falling action. So I'm really interested in playing with experimental form. I'm a poet as well, so mm-hmm. writing, telling stories in heightened language is really interesting to me, mm-hmm. especially given such a heightened emotional experience like PTSD. Mm-hmm. Using this kind of like ornate language to describe that is really interesting to me.
It is, because it almost sounds, you know, antithetical, beautiful language to describe something so horrible.
So ugly mm-hmm. and painful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me that's a really interesting juxtaposition.
It is. It kind of gives me the shivers.
Yeah.
It's scary to think about entertaining the idea of beauty within ugly.
Yes. Yeah. But it's interesting because there's so much ugliness and beauty in life simultaneously.
I know.
You know, and even in something so horrific as a rape and then the aftermath of PTSD, you know, that day-to-day struggle, there are moments of beauty.
Right.
You know, because you're still surviving.
Right.
You know, you're still moving on with your life, even if it's in this kind of day-to-day hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to speak to that as well. It's interesting, I've never forgotten this. When I was in college, I went to Duke for a while, mm-hmm. and a basketball player was accused of sexual assault, and a bunch of my friends were talking about it together. And one of the boys in the group said he would rather have his daughter raped than have her have cancer, because if she got raped, it would be over after that night.
Mm-hmm.
But if she had cancer, she'd be sick. And I never forgot that. And I think in part that's why I wrote this, because there's such, you know, rape culture in our society is so insidious, mm-hmm. so pervasive, especially given the man that's in the White House.
Right.
You know, but there's this kind of like lack of information about what PTSD is actually like for people. Mm-hmm. Like, people understand it as a concept.
Mm-hmm. And they often associate it with war.
Exactly.
And not with other types of extreme emotional experiences.
And trauma.
Right, and trauma.
Yeah. And so I wanted to give voice to the 1 in 3 women who have this experience, mm-hmm. you know, because 1 in 3 women will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime.
It's horrifying.
It's horrifying.
Well, and then a man would say that to you, to me, is just so ridiculously insensitive. You'd rather, what the hell? You're a man.
Yeah.
So what?
And
to
say that you would want that to happen to your own daughter.
It's just, even to entertain that
yeah.
image, it
yeah.
makes me a little sick.
It's disgusting. But I wanted to educate people, mm-hmm. but I also wanted to empower those 1 in 3 women,
mm-hmm.
you know, to let them know they're not alone, and mm-hmm. to let them know that there's someone out there that is fighting for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and putting the story into words and acknowledging
yeah.
this happens, and you're not alone.
Exactly.
That something can really
yeah.
make a difference in a person's life. I think even right now, there's that happening on so many levels. People feeling the need to feel that they're not alone in this
exactly
what's happening right now. So that's amazing. So when you're workshopping, who are your main collaborators?
Jamie M. Ray is my mm-hmm. director.
Great.
She's wonderful.
Yes.
And Kimba Shannon is my choreographer.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And how many days will you be workshopping? And
so we'll workshop for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So my cast is, I have a very large cast. I have 6 actors, mm-hmm. and then the play has 5 dancers,
mm-hmm.
But we had some difficulty finding all of the male dancers that we need, so mm-hmm. we're ending up using 1 female dancer and 2 male dancers.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have 2 weeks of workshop,
mm-hmm.
and then are you fleshing out still script
yeah,
elements?
Yeah, so the main goals of the workshop, it's kind of like we've created our own jaw,
mm-hmm.
so we'll rehearse, and then I'll go off and write, and mm-hmm. then Jamie and I will meet and discuss.
Oh, wow.
And then I'll bring in new pages to the rehearsal the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've decided to do is focus on specific sections of the script.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at 3 dances and then 3 scenes.
Great.
And so we'll come and try new things. And what I really wanted to do with the workshop is see, how does this vision work outside of my head?
Mm.
You know, like, how does the poetry and the dance work in concert with each other?
Mm-hmm.
I have the idea that there'll be times when the dance is set to music. There'll be times when the dance is set to poetry. There'll be times when the dance is just the sound of the dancers dancing and their breath and their feet on the stage. And
that's very evocative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love sitting close to dance for that reason.
So I want to see, how does this come to life outside of my head? Does it work? You know, when do I need to alter the story? When do I need to enhance it? When is it working perfectly?
Are you inviting audience to give feedback after the workshops
after
at
the
Portland Playhouse? Oh, that'll be interesting. Will there be talkbacks?
Yes, there will be talkbacks both days.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And there'll be, I've invited the YWCA and the Sexual Assault Resource Center to come as well. So they'll both have tables in the front with information about how people can get involved in the community if they'd like. Mm-hmm. And they'll also be passing out resources with like statistics and information and stuff like that.
Oh, that's great. That sounds wonderful. Now, I wanted to say that you're the inaugural winner of the $10,000...
The Voice is a Muscle.
Voice is a Muscle grant from the Corporeal Voices Foundation for the choreo poem that you're working on.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that award. That's really
exciting. Yeah, very exciting. So I submitted the play to this wonderful foundation. And was chosen, it's for the entire state of Oregon for writers of color who demonstrate exemplary merits and who are also showing some form of social resistance or social justice in their writing as well.
Oh, that's thrilling.
Yeah, so there'll be a reading in March as well that's put on by the foundation that will feature the 11 semifinalists and me. Oh. So we'll be reading from our works.
That's thrilling. Will that be in Portland? Or?
Yes, that'll be in Portland.
Thank you so much for coming in to talk to me about your
work. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, when I read about it, I thought, oh, this is amazing. I was so glad Sharon Lee led you to me.
Wonderful.
Yes, she is. Well, thanks, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.